Stand by for an hour of fun and merriment as Bristol-Myers present the Alan Young Show, followed by the new Gracie Fields Show with Fred Brady. Stand by, fun's coming. And now, Bristol-Myers, the makers of Sal Hepatica for the smile of health and Vitalis for hair that's well-groomed, present the Alan Young Show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ken Delmar speaking on behalf of those two old friends, Sal Hepatica and Vitalis, and welcoming you to the Alan Young Show, featuring our singing star, Diane Courtney, the music of Peter Van Steeden, Lulu McConnell, and starring Alan Young. And now, folks, it's time for our regular Tuesday night visit to Alan Young's house. Let's see if he's home.
Oh, hello, Kenny. Come on in.
Oh, thanks.
Just shaving with my electric razor. Excuse me while I finish, will you? There. Kenny, aren't these electric razors wonderful? Look, it shaved every bit of fuzz off these peaches. Yeah, I've got so many things to do, Kenny. I've got to write a letter.
Well, don't mind me, Alan. I'll sit down here on the couch.
I've been meaning to write this letter for a long while. It's to a guy who owes me some money.
Oh, well, make it a good, strong letter, Alan.
I will. Let's see. How's this? Dear Larry, who owes me a lot of money? You. Who never paid me back? You. Who is a chiseler and a rat? Yours truly, Alan Young. There. That ought to hold him. Let's see, there was something else I had to do. I want to put this picture up on the wall. Will you help me, Kenny?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, you hammer and I'll hold the nail.
Yeah, okay. Give me the hammer.
Yeah. You hit your finger with a hammer, Kenny.
No, I didn't. I hit yours.
You did? Oh!
Say, Al. I meant to tell you that I dropped by here last night and you weren't home. Where did you go?
Last night? Oh, I was dabbling in culture, really. You know, the opera opened, so I went to New York to see a performance of Carmen at the Metropolitan Opera House. Got all dressed up, too. Wore my top hat, white tie, but I felt chilly.
Why?
My bathrobe kept flying open.
Did you sit in the box, Alan?
No, I sat on the aisle. For 50 cents more, I could have sat on a seat. I was way up on the balcony. I sat behind a guy who was 6'3" tall.
Oh, then you couldn't see anything.
Oh, yes, I could. I was lucky. The guy had a hole in his head. Really a very swank, who can that be?
Hello, Alan.
Oh, Diane Courtney. Come on in, Diane. Diane, you're a singer. You'll be interested in this. I was just telling Kenny about the performance of Carmen I saw last night.
Well, I can't understand it, Alan. You, of all people, going to the Metropolitan. What do you know about opera?
What do I know about opera? Why, Diane, I was born in an opera house. When my parents saw me, they were very disappointed.
What did they expect?
Rigoletto. My father was something of a composer, you know. Once he started to write a piano sonata for four hands, but he gave it up. After all, who has four hands? And my uncle was a musician, too. He played the tom-tom.
The tom-tom?
Yes, and don't sneer, Kenny. It's a very difficult instrument. It can't be played by any tom-tom, dick-dick, or Harry-Harry. And I've been planning to put on my own opera sometime. Now, who can that be?
Hiya, Mr. Young. Are you home?
Why, it's little David Dittenpfeffer from across the street. Come on in, David.
Hiya, Davy.
Hello, David.
Yeah. How do you do, Mr. Delmar and Miss Courtney? I am truly overjoyed to see you.
Well, David, you certainly have your manners with you today. What makes you act so gentlemanly?
Christmas is only 2 weeks away. I'm no joke.
Well, I'm glad you came over, David. I was just going to tell Miss Courtney and Mr. Delmar about an opera I saw last night, and I want you to listen, too. Pay strict attention. This is going to be very educational, you bet you.
Mr. Young, did you know that my father is a
He's a what, David boy? He's a what?
Musician.
Good old.
He played the violin, but he gave it up and started playing the piano.
Well, why did he take up the piano?
His glass of beer was always falling off the violin, nosy.
Oh, bless your little... Now, David boy... David, your levity is out of place in such a cultural discussion.
Oh, don't be sore at me, Mr. Young. Here, I'll let you play with my yo-yo.
I'm too old to play with a yo-yo. I'm not in the habit of doing such juvenile things. String wasn't very strong, was it? Now, David boy, pay attention, and I'll tell you all about the opera Carmen. You bet you. Now, Carmen was written by the famous composer Georges Alexander César Léonard Bizet.
How do you spell it?
C-A-R-M-E-N. Georges Bizet was born in 1853 and died in oblivion, which is 20 miles south of Paris. Now the,
Mr. Young, I just remembered that I had to go to music school.
Music school? What instrument are you studying?
The glamour harp.
The glamour harp? What's that?
It's a big, long tube, 39 feet long, and you play it by blowing into each end of the tube at the same time.
Well, how can you blow into both ends of a tube 39 feet long at the same time?
Do you have to do it?
No.
And what are you worried about?
All right, David, you can run along home now. Be good.
I sure will. You bet you. So long, Mr. Young.
You know, if that kid's head was the North Pole and his feet were the South Pole, I'd love to have my hand spend 30 seconds over Tokyo. Let's see, where was I? Oh, yeah, about the opera.
You know, Alan, I've always wished that we had an opera in this town.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say the same thing, Diane.
Oh? And I've often felt that we needed one, too. So why can't we put on our own original opera? I'll write it, and Diane, you can sing the lead, and Peter Van Steeden can get an orchestra together with the local musicians. We'll rent the town hall for the performance. It's a great idea. We'll do it.
It sounds great, Alan, but what'll we use for money?
Money? Oh, well, we'll get it from Mrs. Lulu Vandercrust. She's the wealthiest woman in town. She's just filthy with lucre.
Alan, this makes me very happy.
Yeah, and it makes me happy, too.
Oh, Kenny, you're always happy.
No, I mean that I'm happy that good music will at long last come to our town. You know, I write music.
Oh, really, Kenny?
Yeah, I compose music in bed.
What kind of music can you compose in bed?
Sheet music.
Oh, bless his little...
I thought maybe you'd let me put a song I wrote in your opera.
Now, what song?
I beg your pardon?
I say, what's the name of the song?
Oh. Is you is or is you ain't gonna get Sal Hepatica?
Oh, no.
Because if you is, you're gonna be helped. And if you ain't, you ain't. I'm serious.
I know you are, Kenny.
Well, the fact is, Sal Hepatica is a great help when you feel sick and headachy due to the need of a laxative, particularly when you wake up in the morning. For a glass of Sal Hepatica taken then brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. And that means you don't have to risk feeling miserable all day to wait until night to take a laxative. You can always take Sal Hepatica the minute you need it. What's more, sparkling Sal Hepatica brings you this additional advantage.
This famous saline helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity.
So tonight or tomorrow, get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist, remembering this caution, use only as directed. Keep that bottle handy in your home or in your place of business. Then whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better, thanks to gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica. And here's our glamorous singing star, Diane Courtney, to sing the Trolley Song.
With my high-starched collar and my high-top shoes and my hair piled high up on my head, I went to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead. With his light brown derby and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men. I started to yell, so I counted to ten. Then I counted to ten again. Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. For the moment I saw him, I fell. chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Bump, bump, bump went my heartstrings. When he smiled, I could feel the car shake. He dipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name. I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Flop, flop, flop went the wheel. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. As he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on with me, and it's grand just to stand with his hand holding mine to the end of the line.
Here's Mrs. Vandercut's house. Hope she'll lend me the money to put on my opera. She's so wealthy. She's the leader of the town society set. I'll be extra nice to her. I'll talk to her as if I were one of the 400, too. Ah, good day, Mrs. Vandercrust. I'm charmed to see you again. Simply charmed.
And I'm charmed to see you, my dear. Come in, won't you? And please excuse the untidy state in which you find my establishment.
Oh, what do you mean?
The dump's a mess, dearie.
This woman is one of the 400. She must have been marked down to 398.
Come right here, honey. Into the library.
Oh, were you having tea?
No. I used to drink tea in England, but I can't drink it the American way.
Why not?
The bag gets caught in my throat. Are you dying?
Mrs. Vandercrest, I came over here to talk to you about an opera I'm writing. Do you know anything about the opera?
My dear boy, before I started dancing in the Follies, I sang opera.
Well?
I was in the Barber of Seville.
Oh, what part did you play?
A hot towel. Ain't that rich? I like the Follies better. Yes, but I had to quit because my foot was always cold.
Well, why was your foot always cold?
Because I danced in the Follies with a hole in my stocking. I was wonderful in the Follies.
Oh?
On opening night, one of my admirers gave me an orchid. I still have it.
Well, by now, it must be a century plant. Look, Mrs. Vandercrest, the reason why I brought up the subject of the opera is because we're going to put one on the town hall, but we need money. Would you back us?
Why, of course, dearie, of course. What's the opera going to be about, honey?
Well, I don't know exactly. I haven't started to write it yet.
I've got an idea.
Yeah?
Why don't you write an opera about my life? You could call it La Traviata, Rigoletto, Il Trovatore.
La Traviata, Rigoletto, Il Trovatore. That's the story of your life?
Yes.
What does it mean?
Woo-woo!
Oh, goodbye, Mrs. Vandercrust. I have to go to the public library and do some research.
Tres beans. So long, dearie.
Here I am in the library. Now to do some research for my opera. Well, there's the librarian.
Something I can do for you.
Yes, I'm writing an opera. I'd like to see some books.
The music
on...
books are over there.
Yeah, but I'd like to...
Over there.
But I want to...
Over there!
Who does he think he is? George M. Cohan? Let's see these reference books. How to write librettos, how to write allegros, how to write cantatas. Not a darn thing about music. Here's a big pile of books here. Gosh, they're piled way up to the ceiling. The book I want is right at the bottom. Oh, well, I'll just pull it out. There. I guess everybody thought the whole pile was going to fall down. Fooled you, didn't I? No!
Quiet!
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 I'm sorry. All the books were piled up to... very high, and my book was in... very bottom, and I pulled it out. And... whole thing fell in there. Plunk. Well, let's see.
Mr. Young.
Oh, it's my girlfriend, Betty. Hello, Betty.
Hello, Mr. Young. I hear you're writing an opera. Oh, that's so sophisticated of you.
Well, I hope the people don't expect anything too avoir de langue d'amour because they're not going to get it.
Why not?
I don't know what it means.
Oh, you'll write a wonderful opera, Mr. Young.
Oh, sure. Of course, I got music in my blood. You want me to bleed something for you? It's a wonderful opera. See, in the first act, I've got all the people...
What key are you writing it in?
All of...
What key are you writing it in?
You think it's more than one?
Well, Mr. Young, I don't think I know.
I don't think I know either. But I'm not worried. If I need more music, I'll have Beethoven write a few more pages. He had lunch with me yesterday.
But, Mr. Young, Beethoven's been dead for 100 years. How could he have lunch with you yesterday?
He forced himself.
Tell me about the story of the opera, Mr. Young.
Yes. Well, it's about a boy and a girl. They're of different sexes, of course.
Oh, Mr. Young, you mean like you and me?
Yeah, if you'll pardon the expression.
Mr. Young?
Yes, Betty?
My shoulders are cold.
They are?
Yes. I'm very cold, and we're all alone back here.
Yeah?
Can't you think of anything to do about it?
Sure. There, that'll make him send up some more steam. Betty, let's look at some of the travel books, shall we? Here's a book, it's... oh, this is a book on Niagara Falls. Betty.
Yes? Oh, Mr. Young, you're so daring.
Betty. Betty, after we've had our... when we go on our...
Mr. Young, you mean you want us to go to Niagara Falls?
Yeah, I want that more than anything else in the world.
Oh, Niagara Falls and our honeymoon. Oh, do you really mean it?
Sure. I always did want to see how they made that shredded wheat. Betty's an unpredictable sort of chap. Oh, well. Gee. Look at the time. I'm going to need some help with my opera. I'll go down to the drugstore and ask Kenny if he'll help me paint some scenery. Kenny! No, he isn't here. Nobody's in the store. Gee, look, Kenny's got a new shipment of candy over there on the counter. Nobody's around. I'll go over and feel it. Soft centers. I don't know why Kenny doesn't keep...
Hello, Alan.
Oh, hello, Kenny. I just dropped in to ask if you'd do me a favor. I got to work on my opera, and I wonder if you'd go down to the town hall and paint the scenery. I'll stay here in the drugstore for you and take care of any customer who happens to drop in.
Yeah, okay, Alan, but be sure you're nice to the customers.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, especially the men.
Why, of course I will, if they're bigger than me.
Oh, you won't have any trouble, Alan. It's just that we druggists try to be particularly patient with our men customers, especially when they come in and ask for Vitalis.
But civilians can't get Vitalis anymore.
Yeah, that's right. And it's quite a disappointment to so many of them who've come to depend on Vitalis to help keep their hair well-groomed.
All right, Kenny, I'll be very nice to anybody who comes in.
Yeah, and explain to them, Alan, that the reason civilians can't get Vitalis is because Bristol-Myers were faced with wartime shortages and couldn't supply both civilians and servicemen. So they decided that the servicemen come first. And so, all Vitalis made is going to the armed forces.
Kenny, somebody's going to hate me for this, but why should a guy fighting a war want Vitalis?
Well, remember, Alan, all of the boys are not at the fighting front. Think of how many boys are still in this country. And think of how many boys over there get leads.
So they really want fine talent, huh?
Well, they must, for they're certainly buying it at their post exchanges and ship stores. That's why Bristol-Myers are giving priority to all orders for Vitalis coming from the armed forces. I guess once civilians understand this, they'll agree that the men in service come first. Don't you think so?
Well, kids, it's time to put on the opera. The orchestra's ready. The audience is in their seats. Everybody here?
No, Alan. Your lady, Diane Courtney, didn't show up.
She didn't show up?
Yeah, she can't sing. She's got laryngitis. What are you going to do?
Do? Well, I'll have to get somebody to take her place. A beautiful girl with a charming figure and a gorgeous voice.
Did you call me, Gary?
No, Mrs. Vandercrust, I'm trying to get somebody to sing the leading role in place of Diane.
Well, what has Diana Courtney got that I haven't got? And if I had it, where would I have room to put it?
Yeah, well, Mrs. Vandercrust...
Curtain's going up, Mr. Young.
Well, there's no time. Mrs. Vandercrust, I gotta take a chance on you. There's my cue. I gotta get out there. Here I go on stage, kids. Wish me luck. Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. While other masters have written operas about love and tragedy, I have chosen a somewhat different topic for our opera tonight. The subject of a physician-type doctor. Ah, but I see our maestro, Peter Van Steden, is ascending the podium. And from the basement, he will conduct the overture. Peter Van Steden and his orchestra are composed entirely of local talents. Peter, would you mind playing the overture as is?
I am playing it as is.
Yeah? Well, then play it is as. Up, we find ourselves in a doctor's office. The rise of the curtain will be signified by a roll on the timpani.
Woo! Cut it out, dearie.
Mrs. Vandercrust, don't stand so close to the kettle drum. The doctor's beautiful nurse enters and sings the opening aria.
Oh, calling Dr. Kildare.
Dr. Kildare.
Oh, where is the Dr. Kildare?
Where, oh, where?
Where?
Operating room.
Room.
Here I am, nurse. Why am I wanted?
Ah, cut it out, Jerry.
Well, Mrs. Vandercrust. Please keep well back, William.
The patient is lying on the table.
What is wrong with her?
She will tell you the story herself.
Would you mind giving me that again, Miss Deering?
Pay attention, Mrs. Vandercrust. I must listen to your respiration. Breathe deeply. Cigarette? Let me examine your eyes. What can you see?
I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree.
Lassie, go home.
No, it is time to operate. Scalpel. Forceps. Now, I'll begin to operate. Hand me my instruments. Now to operate.
Operation is over.
It is a complete success.
There is nothing more to be done.
Oh, yes, there is. The most important thing of all. We can't go on without it.
Doctor, what is it?
It's just my bill.
Just a moment, Alan. I want to read a telegram that we've just received. It's addressed to Alan Young, and it reads, quote, "We are happy to inform you that you have been selected by the radio editors of the United States and Canada in the 9th annual poll conducted by the Motion Picture Daily for Fame as first in the most promising star of tomorrow classification," unquote.
Jenny, I want to thank the radio editors of the United States and Canada and also Motion Picture Daily for their kindness. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, quietly, effectively, the fight against tuberculosis goes on. The Christmas seals you've bought have helped bring tuberculosis under control, but the fight isn't over. Your purchase of Christmas seals will help thousands of sufferers of tuberculosis. It will provide medical care and treatment for them. No other money you spend can do more good for so many. So buy Christmas seals, but lots of them.
Now, on behalf of Diane, Ken, Peter, Lulu, in fact, all of us, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. And don't forget the two products that make our Tuesdays together possible. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, and Vitalis for hair that's well-groomed. Sal Hepatica, Vitalis. Good night.
Oh, wait a minute, lady. Wait a minute. Don't put your hands in that hot soapy water without using Truchet. That's what I said, Truchet. It's the beforehand lotion. A creamy, fragrant lotion that you smooth on your hands before you put them in hot, soapy water. Truchet's beforehand protection will help keep your hands softer, smoother, and lovelier. So get Truchet. Use it beforehand and see the difference this really different hand lotion makes on your hands. Ask for Truchet. T-R-U-S-H-A-Y, Truchet. Now hold it, folks. Stay tuned to this station, for here comes the new Gracie Field Show with that funny man, Fred Brady, immediately following station identification. This is the Blue Network.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.